Do you want bonus audio?
I think what we've done all day, by the way, guys, is yes and, yes and, yes and now we're just, why?
A cow's life begins, like many of us, as an egg. Squeezed out seemingly at random by the gentle grazer, the cow seems unbothered by its brown offspring.
I had the murder wall. I was trying to figure it out on my kitchen wall with names, post-its, string, and the lot.
Is that brother Pratt?
I don't know how to do things with my mind.
You've got to find a way to do this. I know it's inside you. You're a silver bow.
Come give it to me, buddy boy.
Okay.
And as he approaches me, I'd like to twist his nipples.
I can tell you for definite exactly where the inspiration for Nancy came from.
Go on.
Kethel just swallow it all.
Like a good boy. And
if he does get sliced by the glass, he'll just try and
start it out.
Like, yeah.
Well, join the Royal Britannia Patreon. Available now.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So hello and welcome to Royal Britannia Parlay. I'm Tom and I play a character called Keth Frostein in Royal Britannia. So in this series, I'm going to be talking to other podcasters, celebrities and members of the TTRPG community with help along the way from my crewmates at Royal Britannia. So each episode, I'll have a special guest who plays the game, talks about the game, makes movies about the game, or has even helped to shape Dungeons & Dragons into what we know today. This show is all about man of stage and screen, who is just as comfortable gracing a red carpet as he is running a world as a dungeon master. Not only that, but you know that he's officially made it, as he has his own profile on IMDb. He's also annoyingly handsome. And that is, of course, the co-host and producer of the wildly successful Three Black Halflings podcast, Jasper William Cartwright. So joining me now from Royal Britannia is James, the Dungeon Master.
Hello.
Alex, who plays Derek Normalbeard, the Dwarf.
Hello there.
Not Chip. And Paul, who plays one of the Toscobble brothers.
Hello.
How are you doing, chaps?
Not too bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Mustn't grumble.
So, yeah. Although we were lucky enough to meet the real-life Jasper recently at the UK Games Expo, James was the fortunate one to have been able to chat to Jasper for this interview. So,
yes,
how
I
was
it? It was excellent. No, it was really good. honestly, I wanted to talk to him properly for a while because we've been social media buddies for a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a really nice treat to actually be able to, meet him in real life for the first time.
He's
this
lovely.
Year.
Really and, nice.
Actually, him agreeing to have a little interview with us was a real treat, and to be able to speak to him and get a little bit deeper into what he did and how he's got where he is and the meteoric rise to stardom that seems to have come through his amazing podcast, then it was incredible, really.
Oh, but the interview is an absolute treat.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It really, really is. But speaking of, I think it's definitely time to push the play button and enjoy James chatting all things D&D and Three Black Halflings with Jasper.
Jasper Cartwright, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. It's very cool to be here, and I'm doing well. A slightly frantic beginning to this, bit after being stuck in lots of traffic, but I made it, we're here, and we're doing it. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here. How are you, I should ask?
Yeah, I'm good. Technology let me down a little bit, it was slightly embarrassing, but all is well. All is well. I guess I have to congratulate you. Well, I don't have to, but I'm going to, because I like you. Congratulate you on both, your marriage and your soon to be third party of your family.
Yeah, absolutely. The adventuring party is expanding. It's been a pretty wild few months. The fun story with this one is that we found out that we were going to be having a baby in the sort of less than 24 hours I had in between landing from my honeymoon and going away to America for 3 weeks. So
wow.
That was just fantastic timing where I suddenly felt really awful about leaving and swanning off to America to leave my now pregnant and unfortunately not particularly well wife, as she was dealing with morning sickness and all of that stuff. So yeah, but we're all good now, and everything is going well with baby, hopefully, so far. So touch wood, very excited to
fingers crossed for you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's an exciting time, and we'll come on to you what your adventures overseas have been might be to do with, because you know, you might be able to tell me this time. You couldn't tell me before, but I'm hoping you might be able to. I guess for those who don't know, Jasper is the lead of one of my favourite podcasts that I don't listen to as much as I want to. Purely because I don't commute anymore, so I don't get to listen to as many podcasts.
I mean, listen, when you start your own TTRPG podcast, listening to other TTRPG podcasts, no matter how good they are, is a real struggle. Like, it just feels like work. It's not particularly enjoyable anymore. I have to really force myself to listen to the ones that I actually like listening to. You know what I mean? The ones that I listen to pre-starting the show. So absolutely no judgments there for not listening. It's
well, I do try and catch up as much as I can, but I used to work in a job where I used to drive quite a lot, so I had loads of time to listen to podcasts.
Absolutely.
And I now work a 10-minute walk from my front door, which you can't get through a great deal of podcasts in that time.
But I mean, listen, you'd prefer that way. Do you know what I mean? That's great, isn't it? Like, you know, just so much more time in your day to, like, I don't know, play a video game or whatever.
Or do podcasting.
Or do more podcast stuff. Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of that. So let's go right back to, it must have been May 2020.
Yeah, about
somewhere
then,
around there. April, May 2020. Because you started around a similar sort of time to when RB did, really.
I think so, yeah. Because I remember us sort of, there was sort of some very like, hey, we're new fledgling posts, you know, all around the same time. So I think that's probably about the case. Yeah,
no, you don't know this. I'm going to tell you a little secret I let someone else in on the other day, and this is true, 100% true. I used to, well, I still do, I look after the Twitter, now X, possibly, I don't know, Banana next week, who knows? whatever way the wind blows and Elon goes to. I used to very closely follow your Twitter follower numbers. And I had a secret challenge to try and be ahead of you.
Wow, that's so funny. That's specifically
for that. Love because it. Because I thought you guys were awesome and I just wanted to try and keep up with you.
Well, I think you know, the feeling is like, it's very interesting being in and around, there was a lot of shows, right, that started all around that same time, and
we all had some spare time on our hands for some reason.
Yeah, everyone had a little bit of spare time on their hands. And I think it was so interesting, talking to other people and seeing how other people were getting on and what was happening for them. And I think, it really made kind of what happened to us feel so unbelievably special. Like, we felt so kind of fortunate that you know, because I think there's people that we kind of started with now who were like, oh yeah, we only did it for like a month or two, you know. And I like, because I'll say to them, like, oh hey, how's the show? And they'll be like, oh, we didn't slow down or stop doing it or whatever. And I just think it's like, yeah, it was just so unbelievably like fortunate and happy and grateful and, you know, whatever, all of the words for the fact that we're still here, you know, going strong. And like yourselves, I mean, you know, I'll let you in a little secret. I remember always watching and looking over at Rob Britannia and being so jealous, because I was like, damn, it all looks so professional. Like, I felt like, you know, 3BH was just like me there with my Photoshop open being like, what am I going to make today? You know what I mean? And I'd look over and you guys, all your branding's on point, and I'm like, oh, geez, this is embarrassing. I need to be doing better here. So, yeah, the feeling's mutual.
Oh, awesome. Well, I feel really good now. Thank you.
Yeah, well,
I'll not get through that small door behind me to get back out of the room. So let's start where it all began, really. I mean, tell us about what your background is. My understanding is you've got a very theatrical background, and I guess that played a part. But what's your background in that you can, you know, share? And what brought you to then, other than having a lot of time in your hands, what brought you to wanting to start Three Black Halflings?
Yeah, so I started, I trained as an actor at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama in London. And I've always been a bit of a modern day tinkerer type. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I've always been kind of obsessed of, like, you know, what's the next thing? What's the new thing? You know, hilariously, the industry of acting does not suit my personality at all, because the industry of acting is work on yourself, improve yourself, and then kind of position yourself where you can kind of, that phone call will come and you'll book work. And I just physically cannot do that. Like, I, you know, cannot sit still for 5 minutes and wait for anything. And so I've always kind of been looking for what that new thing was. And I still do, you know, want to be and get into filmmaking. It was just that I'd started getting into D&D. I've been playing a lot, you know, at the beginning of lockdown. It was a really good excuse to get together with my friends. And me and Jeremy, one of my co-hosts, we would just sit on the phone for, you know, like hours after we'd play a game and be talking about it. And I always say one of the best sort of happy accidents I feel like I had with Three Black Halflings is that I didn't really know the space that well. So I didn't really conceive of the idea that we could make an actual play. And I think it kind of helped in some way, because I think that what we ended up finding and the kind of niche we ended up filling only kind of really happened because we were a sort of more of a talk show, which, I mean, even now isn't that kind of prevalent within the space. I think there's a lot more shows that are like starting to do bits and, you know, and whatever. But I think had we made an actual play, I mean, I don't think I could have stuck it out, honestly. I mean, you guys, absolutely unbelievable that you kind of keep going, because just the stress of actual play, it's like we do like one a year and I want to like throw myself against a wall. Like, you know, like it's just like scheduling and, you know, pulling like the production stuff all together, music and, oh God, there's just so many moving parts to it. That I think it's incredibly impressive for me that anyone that manages to, you know, pull off like an ongoing campaign or anything like that, because we nip that in the bud real quick after we start. We were like, are we gonna do this? No, we're not. we would be on the phone for ages, and I remember just being like, oh, this is kind of like an interesting conversation. And and then it was actually I suggested it. I always talk about this long fabled lost episode of Three Black Halflings, which is where I was using my phone as a microphone while sat on a bed, and then my phone kept going off because I didn't put it in airplane mode. So I kept on hiding it under the duvet and then remembering that it was my mic and then putting it back in front of myself. And then Jeremy did have a mic, but he had a fan blowing directly down the mic the whole time. And that was honestly nearly the death of it. That was nearly the death of Three Black Halflings, because I remember I sort of started to put it together and went, that was just absolutely, can I swear on this? Is this,
yeah,
is
feel that, free.
I was like, what the fuck is this? This is terrible. Like, this is absolutely shit. So I was like, hey, look, let's do it again. I'm gonna buy myself a mic, because I wanted to get into voice acting, and I kind of like, you know, so I bought myself like a not a particularly impressive one, and I was just like, let's just try it again. And then it was the night before that I saw a Facebook post from Unati, who was then preparing a D&D session for some of their friends. And I just messaged them and was like, hey, would you be down to jump on tomorrow and just like record an episode of a podcast? And that was like, it was like the first time that Jeremy and Anati ever met was just like on episode one. So you can go and listen to their origin story, like happen now, you know? And it just kind of, I mean, to say it snowballed from there, it really did. Because, you know, as I've alluded to, my ham-fisted way of running 3BH, at least, especially for the first year and a bit, not really having a clue what I was doing, you know, really leaning heavily on my incredible wife who works in TV. And she, I mean, honestly, without her, it would have been a complete nightmare and a complete mess. But it really just snowballed from there. And, you know, even to this day, I kind of will have to sort of look around and pinch myself at some of the things that, you know, we get to do and some of the opportunities that it's afforded me. It's been an absolutely incredible journey, and I think we're only kind of it feels weird to think it's only 3 years in. You know, I don't know if you have this with Roll Britannia, like it just feels like it's such a part of me now that it almost seems weird that it's only been around for 3 years. Like it seems, I mean, that feels like a lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, if, you know, if you told me it was 5 years or even more, I don't think I'd question it, honestly. I think I'd be like, yeah, that feels about right, honestly. So, yeah, I realize I kind of rolled the two into that. But I guess the main thing is that, yeah, I came from a sort of depth background. And so therefore wanted to pursue something creative. And yeah, it was a weird adjustment being myself on something and not a character.
And not playing someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's honestly, I've been watching the been trying to keep up as best I can, and seeing all the updates on your socials and everything
too,
you got to
see. I don't even have a clue sometimes. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're doing this, okay.
I mean, it's absolutely blown away. I mean, I think one of the moments for me for your show when I realized just how big you'd gotten, apart from the astronomical Twitter following that you just pulled out of absolute nowhere.
I apologize.
Sort of 6 months,
I feel like
you were kind of tickling along, and then you just went, boom, I'm gone. I said, bye. See you later. Yeah,
we did hit a really good patch on Twitter, and yeah. Now obviously it's gone to hell, so all that work means nothing. Yeah. But hey, you know, it's all good.
One of the things that I did absolutely love that I really enjoyed was you had someone quite big on the show. You had Matt Mercer on your show.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
How did that come about?
This was what a day this was. Matt, he just followed me on Twitter. And I genuinely couldn't believe it. I think I'd just done, he'd listened to my two shot that I did with NADPOD. I did I DM'd a thing called Potsidonia, and it was like an entirely original world that I came up with. And I think he'd listened to it. He'd listened to the Potsidonia episode, and he just followed me. And I literally was like, what the hell? And Matt Mercer, why has he followed me? This must be a mistake. And I messaged him and was like, hey, you followed me? And he was like, yeah, I just listened to your two shot on that, but it was really good, man. I was like, what? Like, mind blown. Do you want to come on the show? And he was like, hell yeah. So, and I've since been lucky enough to meet him a couple of times. He took me to one of his favorite sushi restaurants in sushi places in LA. So, like, you know, that's like definitely one of those like pinch myself moments where I'm sat across the way. This was a fun little fact, but he was that day, we met up for lunch at the sushi place. And then that day he was going into record for Ganondorf on the new Tears of the Kingdom. So I've known that was happening for a long time. He was literally like going in for like the first session to record that day, and I was like, oh, that's really, really cool. A very kind of surreal moment to get noticed by those guys, just because, you know, there's no getting away from, you know, for all of the absolute pinnacle in the TTRPG space. You could probably argue they're more popular than D&D. So, I think that it's it was a really big moment, definitely. And I think you're right to sort of say, like, it felt like a big moment for us as well. It is also, at the same time, it's so funny and so strange how quickly that stuff becomes like just pretty normal, like, you know, because I know a lot of these guys now, and that's definitely not a brag. It's more just like, actually, to be honest, it's more just a testament of like what wonderful people they are. Like, you know, Matt is genuinely one of the nicest human beings. Like, you really want him to be a bit of an asshole, you know what I mean? He's got all of this talent, and he's, you know what I mean, he comes across as such an affable, lovely guy. And you just think, I just kind of want you to be like that guy who sparks up a cigarette in a restaurant and like shouts at the waiter when he tells you to stop, like just something. Do you know what I mean? Just have a bit of an edge, but he really doesn't. He's such a wonderful human being. And I think that's why it feels so normal now, you know, because they are, you know, all of that crew, and the, you know, like Dimension 20 people and whatever, just, oh, they're just wonderful people.
Yeah.
Very wonderful people.
Well, you've had, it's the whole ride for you seems to have gone from, you know, bedroom pace podcast to something, you know, fantastically showbiz. I mean, you were on the red carpet at the D&D movie in London.
Yeah.
And you've been out and about, and you've alluded to it, you know, you've been out in LA doing something secret that you couldn't tell me about. Is there anything you can share?
Is there anything I can share? I can share. It is, yeah, very, very, very excited about it. It's definitely a big, like, tent pole, whatever you want to call it, moment for me. And honestly, like, I think the best thing about it is genuinely, like, the space and getting to just getting to work with some of these people. That was, like, the best thing about it, honestly. I got to spend, and I've been out to, it's so crazy, right? So this will kind of illustrate what a wild ride it's been. I've been dreaming of going out to LA, you know, as an actor, like, ever since I was, like, you know, six. And, like, I've been out three times since last May. And then I'm going again in September. And it's just, like, it's just been a complete kind of, like, whirlwind in terms of, like, you know, what that is. But honestly, a lot of that was just me putting myself kind of out there, you know what I mean? And kind of just being like, hey, like, it wasn't, like, I still don't, you know, have a ton of money. It wasn't like I was, like, splashing loads of cash to fly first class over to LA. Like, it was, no, I was like, I booked, like, the first time I went out there, I booked the cheapest flight. I had friends I could stay with. I was, like, eating, like, one meal a day so I could get Uber's places. And, you know, but it was really important to me to go out and sort of say, like, hey, I'm here and I want to work and I want to, you know, because I knew people, because I'd gotten to know people. I was so lucky that so many people were so generous with the time coming on to Black Halflings. I mean, that's the reason why we are where we are, is because just the sheer number of people that were willing to come on and, you know, and lend us their time. And so then, yeah, I was just like, I want to meet these people. I want to hang out with them. I want to see what's up. And yeah, it's paying off, which is really, really cool. But I apologize, I can't say more than that, just because I will get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's fine. I just sort of teased if there was anything we could do. But I think you have given us some little hints and tips there, so I quite like it. I did this to Luke Gygax when I spoke to him, and I'm going to drop the serious question on you now, because
please.
Like to know, you know.
Get down to the real stuff.
Let's get around to the, you know, let's get down to the dirty stuff, you know. What dice is your set of dice? No. I will ask you that, but no.
Yeah.
Obviously, D&D's been massive in the headlines over the last sort of 12 months with all sorts going on. And, you know, I've been really interested to find out about the world, because I had never played before we started the podcast.
Yeah.
So to me, all of the history of it was kind of a mystery. And weird poetry, but obviously there's a lot that I didn't know about the game, and a lot that I've come to learn about it. And obviously one of the things that makes Three Black Halflings so unique is actually your emphasis on creating diversity in the game and inclusion. And that's probably one of the reasons you're one of my favorite shows to listen to, is actually that aspect of it. Cause it's for me, absolutely fascinating to hear about this world from another point of view, because a lot of the stuff that I listen to is from you know, the very stereotypical point of view, and as much as it's great, I think the world is better for hearing more variety and more backgrounds brought into it. So really I wanted to know about your why, you know, what was drove you to sort of really highlight this part of the game, and how you feel that's, you know, how you feel that's played out in the world, and if that's changed, improved, got worse, what, you know, what are your thoughts? Obviously don't feel like you have to put the entire world to rights, but it's
but I will
please do.
No, I think basically the impetus for starting the show was that I typed into YouTube black people in D&D, something like this. And the only thing that came up was like Terry Crews DMing a one shot for like a mostly white table, and I was like, we have to do better than this. And honestly, like there were a lot more people already in the space, already doing stuff. And, you know, they laid the groundwork, you know, they kind of ran so that Three Black Halflings could fly, you know, all those kind of things. But it really just felt like there was a lack of representation, and then more so than that, there was a lack of a conversation about representation. You know, it wasn't like there wasn't a place, it didn't feel like, for people to have that conversation or to express those feelings. And it sounds a bit weird, but I really wanted Three Black Halflings, and I still do, which is what kind of will feed into the next thing. I've always wanted Three Black Halflings to be a bit messy. And what I mean by that is that, like, we're so used to now on social media to have, you know, everyone has to have their exact opinion. This is how I feel. And you can't, you know what I mean? You can't kind of like, it doesn't feel like there's a space other than conversation to just work things out, to figure out how you feel about something, to remove the knee-jerk reaction and just be like, actually, how does that make me feel? And can I have a different opinion to someone who I identify very closely with? You know, might I have a different opinion, or might I take things in a different way? Which kind of leads me on to the conversation about the last 12 months, because this is something that internally within Three Black Halflings we've been having, you know, a lot of discussions about, and we do feel differently. You know, like Jeremy and I feel very differently about it. And like, there's no like need to go into like super specifics there, because I don't want to speak for Jeremy either, but just, you know, even from my own perspective, I've always been like I've always wanted to sort of fix it from inside the house kind of thing. I was on the side of Brexit where I was like, nope, we definitely shouldn't leave, because whilst I agree it's not a perfect system, I think we're better off staying kind of there and involved in the conversation. And and I think that for me, D&D has made some really positive strides. There's a lot of things that I think are I also will just caveat this by saying I'm generally just a very optimistic person. It's just the way that I kind of have to operate. Otherwise, I feel like I just get extremely down all the time because news is crap. But like, I feel like there's been a lot of really positive strides. And also, moreover than that, I think that the fact that they've shown a willingness to walk things back, to take time, to consider things, to change things when they have made missteps, I think is, honestly, in today's day and age, pretty huge, because most companies just go stick, like, shove it. Like, that's, you know, we've made that decision. That's what's happening. There's nothing you can do about it. We're going to, you know, people are going to buy our stuff regardless. And I think that Wizards could have done that, you know. I think they could have done that in a lot of instances, for instance, the OGL and everything. Of course, I'm not kind of giving them a free pass. They should have never done it. And they, they're definitely an element of like, oh, should we wait this out and see if they'll, you know, really kick up? And then I think because we all fought so hard against it, that's why they came back. But we ended up getting a better deal out of it, you know? So it's sort of like, I think it swings in roundabouts. And this is not me absolving Wizards of the Coast. They've got a long way to go. And my God, there is still so much that needs to be done. There's still so much, you know, in terms of the language of a lot of the things, the cultures that they explore within a lot of their source books, the way they use certain cultures in some of their source books, all of these things need to be explored. But I also want to, you know, I'm just always like, I want to make sure that we are always pushing to like further the conversation, further the narrative. And whether we like it or not, Wizards are a huge part of that narrative, so we kind of have to include them. I think that the last 12 months have been some ups and some pretty big downs. to put it diplomatically, I think there's been some serious missteps. But having met a lot of the folks who work at Wizards as opposed to, you know, Hasbro or whatever, I know there are some really, really fantastic and really caring people who are trying desperately to, you know, put a good foot forward and show that they can be a positive force within the community and things like that. So I'm definitely in a sort of hopeful place. I think it's moving in a positive direction. It doesn't mean I think it will be perfect, by no means, but I'm at least excited to see what excited to see what comes next what new spaces they explore and how they explore it. And hey, look, if they do something great, we'll be there to talk about it. And if they do something absolutely terrible, we'll absolutely be there to talk about it and to share our opinion. And I think just as a final point as well, actually, which I do think is kind of worth saying, is like, we have been incredibly critical of Wizards of the Coast and some of their actions on our show. We you know, we managed to get Kyle Brink on for an interview during that whole sort of OGL kerfuffle, and we were, you know, not shy about the you know, our opinions and everything. And Jeremy and Liv did an unbelievable job during that interview. And yet Wizards have still expressed time and time again a willingness to work with us, to feature us, to, you know, and so I think that even that itself shows a willingness, because I think it'd be very easy for Wizards to say, oh, you say mean things about us quite a lot, so we're not going to work with you anymore. And that would, and honestly, at that point, I wouldn't even blame them. I'd be like, yeah, fine. If someone just chatted shit about Three Black Halflings all the time, I probably aren't going to, I'm not going to have them on Three Black Halflings. Obviously, the situation is slightly different, but yeah, I think that I appreciate that as well.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it's difficult. It's a difficult conversation, I think people find it very challenging to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And it's really thanks to, you know, your show and show the very, very few shows like it that, you know, are bringing these conversations to the public eye. And actually, I think that's really, really important. So, you know, thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's really nice. I just think I've always felt like, you know, conversation is such an important part of progression. You know, I think allowing a space for everyone to get on board, and it's always going to feel like a safe space, you know, which is why we always kind of try to make it kind of funny or lighthearted, or we, you know, have a joke even when we're all feeling a little bit down or whatever it is. I just think it's really, 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 really important, in especially in today's day and age, because otherwise it's just everything's so doom and gloom, everything's so knee-jerk reaction. And I'll be honest, you know, maybe this is a spicy take, but you know, I think it's different when it's affecting people's livelihoods, but with a lot of this stuff with the Wizards of Coast, I'm kind of like, okay, cool, but it's not brain surgery. They're going to walk it back. You know, they haven't hurt anyone, really. I get that it's your thing and you love it and et cetera, but like, I think that we can just be like, hey, pull their hands up, say, hey, that wasn't it. My guys, that wasn't it. Walk it back. Cool. All right. Nice. We've got a better version of it now. Everyone's fine. Let's move forward. So yeah, definitely. I'm glad that it's having that effect, because that's definitely our intention, is for it to be a space where we can have and house these conversations and differing opinions. You know, like I said, that, you know, even on our own show, we see this differently. So, yeah, I'm glad that it's coming across like that.
Awesome. So, as your show has been, you know, almost exclusively talk show based, but you have done a little bit of actual play.
Yeah, I mean, we've done quite a bit, actually.
Yep.
Which is too much. No, I'm joking. It's that I've given it to Jeremy. It's Jeremy's department. He does an incredible job, but I just find I find it very stressful, but he does an amazing, amazing work. But sorry, carry on.
No, it's okay. I was just going to ask you a couple of questions that I know, you know, I like to find out about people. I like to know, you know, what is your, you know, what's your character build? What's when you're playing a game, what is your character build? The go-to.
It's so hard, right? So I have nearly 200 characters created now on D&D.
Oh, it's not just me then.
but I have played nearly all of them, like in stream. So like, it's not like I just created those for fun. I mean, I literally have played those for like streams, home games, you know, just guesting on stuff. You know, I literally, like this past week, I've had 4 session zeros. Whoa. In the last like week and a bit, I've had 4 session zeros for like upcoming things. And so like, genuinely, I've got to a point where I'm like, I don't care. Like give me any of them. I'm way more interested in like the character and like, you know, I'm really big on allowing the mechanics to inform my character and the way they might do something. I think, what's my flavor of the month? Maybe that's how I'll answer this, because I think giving a permanent one would be impossible. I've just started playing Baldur's Gate 3, and I did go with a warlock, which is a little out there for me, but I always find warlocks to be a very fun out of combat class to play, and I was really intrigued as to how that worked within Baldur's Gate, so I was like, I want to give it a try. But I probably would go somewhere down the line of like a really flavorful class, so warlock, or I love a sorcerer for that as well. I just think, you know, plus my sort of OG Three Black Halflings character, the first one I played in like an actual play was a sorcerer, and I have a deep seated love for Mooty. So I'm gonna say for now warlock or sorcerer would be my current awesome choices. They'll change next week. It'll change next week when I play Warlock too much and I go, I'm bored now. I want to be a druid.
I want to do Wild Shape.
I want to do Wild Shape. Like the first time I played Baldur's Gate, because I was lucky enough to go to the like a little press event in over in Belgium for it, and I literally we got about three hours to just sit at a computer that they gave us and play the game, which was awesome. And I went with a druid purely because I was like, I want to see this would be cool. Like I want a Wild Shape. This would be fun. And yeah, that was great fun. You can learn the Albert on Baldur's Gate 3. Because of the film.
Yeah, that has sort of changed D&D lore, is that
yeah.
it's beasts and owlbears.
And owlbears. Which, you know what? Look, I'm fine. Like
I'm into it.
It's fun having more stuff to turn into. Like, why not? It's not gonna unbalance my combats that much. I'll just throw more other owlbears at you. It's fine.
this is the thing for me. When I see people complain about things becoming unbalanced, I'm just like, yeah, but you are the DM.
Yes, so exactly.
If the game's getting too easy for your players,
preach.
Just make the stuff harder.
Yep. Yep. the thing for me is you as the DM have all the tools in the world. The only time that I ever get annoyed about unbalancing things is if I feel like giving someone something actively takes away from another player and like their abilities, because then I think that unbalance is just like not fun, right? So sometimes I'm going to say this, you know, sometimes paladins not great to have in the group because they're just really good at everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like a little bit annoying. So I think for like party dynamic, that's the only time I really care about unbalanced stuff. Like I'll give my players anything that they want if they can justify it. And then I'm like, cool. Okay. You might have an unbelievably powerful weapon now, but you can only attack with it once per round. And you still have the same amount of hit points, and I'm going to come at you with something much bigger now.
Add a one. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll just add a zero onto the end of their hit points, and we'll see what happens. I'm right there with you about that.
So if you had a bit of advice for someone new to D&D, DM or a player, what advice would you give?
I'm going to go with probably the most overarching piece of advice, because there's so much granular advice that I could give, but I would say my overarching one is understand that TTRPGs and D&D at their best, in my opinion, at their best, are shared storytelling experiences. And what I mean by that is that there is just as much onus on you as a player as there is on the DM to tell an interesting narrative. I think if you are a generous player who gives a lot to the DM and who feeds off what the DM is putting down, you will have a better experience. The table will have a better experience, and also your DM will have a better experience, because I think quite often we can forget that they're also playing a game. This isn't a job for them, most likely, unless, you know, one of us weirdos who decided to do this for a living. You know, it's not a job for them. So therefore, you know, give them that gift of just being prepared for a session. You know what I mean? Like I love all of my players to bits, but it is slightly frustrating when, you know, they'll come and be like, oh, I forgot to level up, just do it now. And then they spend the first 20 minutes not paying any attention to what's going on. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, well, I spent 3 hours prepping for this session and making battle maps and, you know, sorting out music playlists and whatever. And you couldn't spend 10, 20 minutes just prepping your sheet before you started. So, you know, I guess the main thing, as I'm saying, is like invest as much as everyone else at the table, you know? And that can kind of go both ways. Like if everyone is up for just like a chilled get together on a Friday, have a couple of drinks and just like fuck around, that's the level of investment. But if people want to go deeper and whatever, then like match that energy, like go in there and you will have like an unbelievable time. Like it can be like, I would go as far as say it's like whatever the rung below life changing is. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think it's quite there, but it's like very close. It can be so powerful and so incredible, but you'll only really get there if everyone's bought in, you know, at the same level. Because it makes a big old difference.
Absolutely. So I guess this is kind of the point where I'm going to give you
kind of a moment really to just say pretty much anything you want to say, but I'm going to kind of put you in a kind of ask you a sort of a question to set you up for this, which is really what does the future hold for you, for Three Black Halflings, and you know, what would you like to see for the future of D&D?
Okay, I guess I'll answer it in those three stages. For me, I honestly don't like, I don't know. and the reason I say that is because it's been one kind of shock and surprise after another, in the sense that there has been so much, like, I've received so much positivity and kind of welcomeness, and people have, you know, invested in me and put their faith in me. And to a level that I never thought, you know, not even in my wildest dreams, I would, you know, being on the red carpet at the D&D movie premiere, being, you know, literally 2 meters away from Chris Pine and Reggie Trumbage, whatever. It's like, what is going on? It's ridiculous. And then like the day after, going to a private event at the Tower of London, you know, I was drinking champagne like a foot away from Henry VIII's armor. like what is happening? So I feel like it's hard to articulate, you know, where I see things going. All I will say is that like I'm just as sort of dedicated and passionate about making this space more accessible for everyone, about making this work. I love, you know, creating these stories and telling these stories. I know I've got lots of exciting things that I'm sort of trying to do, and a lot of sort of things that I'm sort of hoping will come off, but whether they do eventually, I don't know yet. But the trend is good. And I'm feeling incredibly positive about it, and just, you know, very happy to be on the ride, kind of thing. And I feel very fortunate to be very on the ride, because I think we hit a moment at the right time, and we got fortunate. I always try to stop myself, I think, from saying lucky, because I think lucky implies you didn't work for it, whereas I feel like fortunate is like, no, you worked for it, but you also happen to be in the right place at the right time. But I think for the show, we actually had a big old sort of meeting recently to be like, you know, where do we want to go with this? What do we want to do? How do we want to take it to the next level? How do we want to progress? Because that's definitely where, you know, we're a really interesting point, where I feel like everyone kind of knows about us, but maybe, you know, we need to get people kind of, as many more people like actually listening and not just knowing about us, but really engaging with us and everything that we're doing. So we've got some really, really exciting plans for the future. And I guess like ultimately we just want to, you know, we'd love to get to live shows. We'd love to get to just being able to like go out into the community, actually meet people properly and things like that. That would be an absolute dream for the show. And then, I mean, for the future of TTRPGs in general, I just don't think it could be more exciting. I think that in a world where we are staring down the barrel of like AI creating stories, and you know, studios being greedier and greedier and greedier when it comes to telling our stories, the beautiful thing about TTRPGs is the fact that something like Critical Role can exist, you know, or Three Black Halflings, or Roll Britannia. The idea that this is something that we get to create, that we are in control of, and we are telling honest, powerful, funny, you know, empowering stories. I think that is incredible. I don't, especially now that the OGL has been, we've conquered that beast, and there's all of these other incredible TTRPGs available who have already said, you know, we're never going to do anything like this. I just think it's such a bright future in terms of more and more people will be coming to the space, more and more people will be wanting to get involved, and the potential for it is endless. You know, I'm already very much in the headspace of trying to figure out, like, you know, what's the next thing? How do we take actual play and TTRPGs and turn it into something more? You know, I was lucky enough to be on a season of Dark Dice at the moment, it is amazing to hear what they take, which is essentially our game, and then turning it into this like really freshly and beautifully produced audio drama, which is terrifying to listen to, because you know, they just do such a good job. They make it so atmospheric, and you know, I really think that it is a powerful, TTRPGs is a powerful storytelling tool that is only going to be more useful and more sought after, I think. Because I think I'm already imagining, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Amazon, you know, have picked up three series of Critical Role, because, it, you know, you go, well, you've basically got a script written by really talented people who know their characters inside out. You know, you're probably writing as well fleshed out a characters as you'd get with like seasoned writers. And I think that's, you know, and that's not to downplay what seasoned writers do at all. It's just to say that, you know, this sheer amount of hours that they've put into those characters and that story and the knowledge of the world that Matt has and everything like that means that those characters are so well realized that when you watch the animation or whatever, you're like, oh, these don't just feel like, they absolutely don't feel like characters who are just like spontaneously appeared at the beginning of the story and then disappear at the end of the story. You really get that sense that these are, you know, stories that are going to continue to be told and have been told before. And, you know, we're just seeing a little window into it. And I think that's part of the kind of potential of TTRPGs in general. So I think the future is incredibly bright and genuinely don't, I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be in terms of like being involved in an industry like this. It's incredibly exciting.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I guess my only final question for you is, can we get you on the show as a walk-on part?
Please. I'd absolutely love to. I mean, that'd be great.
I say walk-on, it is a podcast, so.
yeah, sure. A speak on, maybe.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, no, I'd absolutely love to. And just generally, you know, just to reiterate again that you guys do such a fantastic job. You've always been an amazing kind of standard bearer for us. You know, I think you've been doing incredible, and you know, like seeing your I was so jealous of your booth at UKEG. Like, I was like, oh my, look at this. Like, I decided to come here 2 days ago. These guys have got a booth. They've got, you know, like just like really amazing stuff. So, yeah, nice. Well done.
Thank you so much. So before you go, then I think just make sure that everyone who's listening can find you and your show and your work. So just tell us, you know, how people can find you, how people can listen to you and all the websites and socials and everything. So go.
Heck yeah. Feel free to follow me on social media at JW_Cartwright. That's where I'll be posting everything. If you want to hear about what all of these weird things that are nebulously happening at some point in the future, maybe, that'll definitely be the first place to hear about them. And then, yeah, check out Three Black Halflings. We also do a sort of semi-permanent co-host guest on a show called Games and Feelings, which is really fantastic, and the Performance Capture podcast. I think that's like kind of everything. Oh, Dark Dice, I'm on that at the moment, and I'm doing a bunch of like guesting things over the next few months, which is really, really cool. I'm very excited about. And then the last thing, which is, if there's any halflings listening to this, if anyone's tuned in because they listened to Through Black Halflings, stick around, listen to Robertania, go listen to the actual play. It's really, really brilliant. They're wonderful people. So stick around, you'll be in safe hands with these guys. So and I'm sure you'll have steamed through all the Through Black Halflings stuff. So you need something else to listen to. It's Robertania.
Thanks so much. I really, really appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely welcome.
Right. So I thought that was a fascinating interview. Really, really enjoyed it. But as a closer, what would you each take away from that? What stuck with you, Paul?
I just think his time out in LA and meeting Matt, really. I think that was just the way all that sort of came about. And then his time on the red carpet as well.
Of course.
I think because I missed our chance to go down to the show earlier on this year. You guys got to experience that, although it wasn't the red carpet.
Yeah, but weren't you cool also experience. Having and Babby at the time?
You were being and dad.
I'm still kind of a little bit jealous of all that. You just
how
to go.
Hey, how does it feel?
I still haven't seen it in the cinema.
Well, you've seen it, though.
You've missed that chance.
Several.
It's gone. I can put it on the projector later if you want, if that makes it better for you.
How does it feel to be 1 degree of separation away from Matt Mercer?
Yeah. Not bad, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty good, eh? Yeah. We know Jasper. Jasper knows him. Enough.
Boom. We're basically best buds.
Yeah.
That's you know, me and Matt Mercer, that's me on top.
What about you, Alex? What have you taken away from
His complete honesty, I think, in the sense of not only just in the interview and being completely open to a lot of the questions and stuff that were posed to him, or all of the questions, I should say. But his complete honesty in the three black halflings and the conversations that they have on that show, the fact that they were a big proponent of the critiques for Wizards of the Coast with the OGL and stuff like that, and now have ended up out of that working with Wizards of the Coast and stuff like that and kind of fostering collaboration there, is really, really good to see those aspects of the community coming together. Mm. And the fact that they don't shy away in their show from talking about difficult topics, or at least, again, difficult topics is such a weird thing to say because it's very easy to not be an arsehole about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very easy. So, but yeah, to have that kind of underrepresented voice come through, and yeah, man, I just wish him all the best. I'd love to play D&D with him. Oh,
all right, I'll sort it out. Yeah. Don't worry.
Love to.
Okay then, James. How would you describe Jasper in 3 words?
Very bad at counting. No.
No, I ambushed you there. So, and yeah, what's he left you with?
Oh, I mean...
Not a sore something.
He's, honestly, Jasper's just such a nice guy. And I was really, really grateful that he was on the show. I think that it blew my mind that we were in any source, in any way, some sort of like inspirational competition for him.
I love that.
Because that's honestly blew my mind.
Yeah.
I am so grateful that he stayed in contact with us and we've sort of had this sort of in the background virtual like...
secret battle.
Yeah, secret battle.
He was jealous of our booth.
I know.
He loved our booth.
I know. I loved our booth, to be fair. So. I very nearly put the banner up today. Probably it doesn't fit under here. It'd have to be out there because it's too tall for this ceiling. Anyway, but no, I mean, it was a really, really nice opportunity to actually speak to him in person. It was so good of him to actually come to our stand and say hello to us at the show.
He was lovely.
You know, for us, like, it's great to see someone who started an indie podcast at the same time as us doing so incredibly well. And you know, we can aspire to be even a fraction of his success would be amazing. And I really look forward to seeing the projects he's working on.
Well, thank you, chaps, for being here. And thank you ever so much to Jasper for taking the time to talk to James. And also thank you so, so much for listening and for all of your support. And also look out for the next episode of Parlay. But if you simply can't wait to hear more from the crew of Roll Britannia, then you can find us on all good podcatchers out there, Apple, Google, Spotify, you name it, where we have new episodes coming out every Wednesday. There's over 180 odd episodes now, chaps, yes?
So many.
So there's plenty to listen to. And if you want to hear more episodes of Parlay, where we talk to other exciting guests, then these can be found on our main podcast feed. If you want to hear more episodes of Parlay, where we talk to other exciting guests, those can be found on our main podcast feed. And if you're a creator in the TTRPG community, or a famous person, we like you as well.
An actual celebrity.
A real live celebrity, and you'd like to come and have a chat, get in touch, because we want to talk to you. And finally, check out our Patreon, our merch store, and even drop into our very, very active Discord server. All the links are in the episode description. So, it is a goodbye from me. Goodbye. It's a goodbye from him.
Bye.
A goodbye from him.
Hello.
A goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
And a goodbye from... No, not
I joking. Couldn't follow that.
Thank you so much for listening to Roll Britannia Parlay.
Bye. I love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Do you want bonus audio?
I think what we've done all day, by the way, guys, is yes and, yes and, yes and now we're just, why?
A cow's life begins, like many of us, as an egg. Squeezed out seemingly at random by the gentle grazer, the cow seems unbothered by its brown offspring.
I had the murder wall. I was trying to figure it out on my kitchen wall with names, post-its, string, and the lot.
Is that brother Pratt?
I don't know how to do things with my mind.
You've got to find a way to do this. I know it's inside you. You're a silver bow.
Come give it to me, buddy boy.
Okay.
And as he approaches me, I'd like to twist his nipples.
I can tell you for definite exactly where the inspiration for Nancy came from.
Go on.
Kethel just swallow it all.
Like a good boy.
And if he does get sliced by the glass, he'll just try and
start it out.
Like, yeah.
Well, join the Royal Britannia Patreon. Available now.